So today's sermon will be a new series after getting back. After the feast here and giving last Sabbath sermon about our new understanding of time, times, and half a time, then considering where we are in time and where we're going and the journey that's brought us to this point here, where we are today, it'd be good that we have a new series that is entitled Our Journey of Faith. It's exciting. And by going through some of this, told someone today that passed along anyway that I'm going to throw a couple of carrots out there for those who say I do a little carrot dangling. This series here will have a couple big carrots in it. So there are a couple things coming that are interesting and unique that are going to fit in with this that I have to build up to, work toward, I should say. But there are some pretty big revelations in that respect. But exciting where we are and what's taking place. So to begin this series about our journey, we're going to look at what is in front of us right now. And as we move forward here in the next few months. And the chart, the new chart, is going to come in handy for you as well. So you might want to use that from time to time just as a reference as you become familiar with it. I think it's good that we become quite familiar with it. We're going to go back in history. We're going to look at some things concerning the church, how we've come to the point where we are. We're going to look ahead a little bit, and we're going to look at where we are. And again, a journey of faith. It's quite a journey. It truly is. It's truly inspiring what God is doing with us, how He's led us, and what's taking place. And I know that some are still struggling a little bit with some of the information to get everything straight in their minds. That's fine. It'll come to you in time, especially as we go through this series, because we're going to be referring to some things as we go along that will help to cement all this in your understanding. And then candidly, when we get through it all, that's when the greater meaning of the past two sermons is going to come to pass, even more so as we go forward. So anyway, God's giving us a great foundation here to build upon, and that's exciting. So in all this, the primary thing to understand when we talk about what God is giving to us concerning the understanding about time, times, and half a time in the last two sermons that we've had, one on the last great day and then last Sabbath. Again, the primary thing to understand that is as of trumpets this year, we entered into a final phase of a time period of 980 days, which is the time God has referred to in Daniel and Revelation as time, times, and half a time. And it's only within this period of time that the manifestation of the seven trumpets of the seventh seal can be revealed within that time period. That's why nothing physically, in the sense of being able to see it, has happened. We see some different things happening in this country, but again, as far as what we're looking to take place with the second, third, and fourth especially, those won't happen until the second, third, and fourth take place. So God will show us the significance of all these things again as we proceed forward. Some have confused the timing of what I said concerning the earliest and the latest for the fifth trumpet to sound. Again, not any other earlier trumpets, and their timing have been given, just primarily here, except for the first. But as far as the second, third, and fourth, and so forth, I didn't give any timing on any of those. But concerning the fifth, I did say that the earliest Europe could arise would be June the 27th, 2010, and that the latest would be August the 21st, 2011. And again, this is not something given as a revelation from God, but that which can fit within the time frame of what has now been revealed in time, times, and half a time. So at this point, it might be good to stop and consider some of what was revealed to us concerning the first five trumpets, or that has been revealed to us. Let's turn over to Revelation chapter 8. I thought I'd also mention here that the time chart has had a few additions to it. It's been tweaked a little bit here because there were one big thing was omitted, left out, and it didn't hit me until my sister was asking me about it the other day, and then when she asked me about it, my mind just totally went blank. And I was wondering, why didn't I put that on the chart? And I think it's good that it hasn't been put on until now because it has a little bit more impact when put together with the sermon today and what we're talking about. But anyway, I'll mention that in a moment here. And a couple of other things have been tweaked, a couple of misspellings and so forth. So it was put out there rather rapidly, but it'd be good that if all of you were to copy it again, get a new one, because it's better and it's far more accurate in that sense of everything was there as far as accuracy is concerned. It's just a matter that it's better now in what has been given and what has been added to it. Clearer, I should say. Maybe that's a better word. It's made a little bit clearer. So one addition is behind the 1335 section. There's that great big bar that goes across. It's the longest bar on there because it covers the 1335 days, that particular timeline. On the third line down, where it starts out with September the 30th, 2008 being trumpets, and that beginning the 1335 days. Then we came down to the next section there, November the 14th, which is the period of time when the seventh seal was opened, followed by the 30 prophetic minutes, as we talked about, of Revelation 8:1, and the 1290 days then remaining until Pentecost. Then the next one, that's the one I added another little phrase to, December the 14th, 2008. Two witnesses begin. And what I left out was, and the first trumpet was blown. Okay? The first trumpet was blown. So I've referred to that different times, but I didn't specifically put it on the chart, and I haven't talked about it. I didn't talk about it in the last sermon anyway. And anyway, important to understand that. Awesome. When you start thinking about it and what God has given to us, especially when you consider that period of time when the first trumpet was blown to the Feast of Trumpets this year. 280 days. Awesome. To understand what God has given to us and what we've gone through and what He's showing. So anyway, let's read about that now in Revelation chapter 8, beginning in verse 6. It's really inspiring. You know, God takes us through. We all grow this way, but even in the sermons He gives to us and when He brings us to certain things, He continues to build upon adding more and more and more and helping us to understand more clearly everything that He's given to us. And that's why this sermon to me is exceptionally exciting, because it helps to bring everything together in a stronger way, in a greater way. And yesterday as I was driving down the road, or actually my wife was driving, I was working on this sermon series, and all of a sudden something hit me very strong. And she asked me what was wrong. Anyway, I basically said nothing. That was not true. And not fully true, but I didn't want to go into it yet. And started him hawing around there, and she knew that something was wrong. But anyway, it has to do with some of the couple of the carrots coming in here in a little bit of time that God is placing out there, some things He's revealing, and it fits into this particular sermon series that I think you will find interesting as we go along. You may not find it interesting. It may be very trying for some. I don't think it will be. I think everybody's going to, just like everything, when God brings it to us, it's exciting. But all these things come by building one piece upon another. And I think of sermons as they go along. God just continues to build, and it's an awesome thing to experience. It truly is. That's why going back now in this history of what's happened to us as a church, and understanding even the timing of some of these things and how things went from one point to another point, as we go through some of this, you'll find immensely exciting, especially some of those of you who have been on the entire trip. Because some of you have been on, some few, have been on the entire trip from get-go. And it's incredible to go back and review some of that and to remind ourselves of what God has done, especially when putting in the time frame of everything He's given to us now. So Revelation 8, verse 6. And the seven angels, which had the seven trumpets, prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. And the third part of the trees were burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. Now, let's break down that verse and learn what God has been showing us and where we are now and what's in front of us. First, it's truly important to understand the word followed, as I pointed out in times past. I've made comment about it because that word is not used in the same manner. It's used, but not in the same manner concerning the next trumpets that follow. So it's of major importance that this word is not used in that same manner. It is used, and we're going to take a look at that later on in the sermon here, but to better understand the importance of this word, Let's see how it's used. You can write down these verses. I'm just going to give you these verses, but I just want you to stop and listen to what I'm saying rather than look them up and taking the time to do that, because there are several examples here of several words used in the English language that this word has been translated into, the same word that's being used here. And I just want to give you a little bit of a taste of some of its usage so that when you see this, it'll make more sense what I'm telling you here in Revelation. Matthew 5 and verse 18. Jesus Christ said, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle." In other words, the smallest of markings in the Hebrew language, as we might use in English, a period on the I, or an apostrophe, or different, crossing of a T, I guess might be a better example there. But he's saying here that not one jot or one tittle will no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. That word fulfilled is this word, till all be fulfilled. And so it's showing here that in time, it's something that covers a period of time, and by the context there are some things revealed or given. And so there is that which will follow, or that which will occur, or that which will take place, or come into being in time. It's not something that happens immediately. It's a process. There are some things that are immediate, and there are some things that take time to be completely accomplished. And here, Jesus Christ is just using an example here of something that about the law and God's way of life, of all that's going to be accomplished and fulfilled. And it has to do with the God family in this case. It has to do with what God is doing with us and writing His law in our hearts and our minds. And until the kingdom of God is complete, this will not be complete. So it's going to take a lot of time. It's going to take 7,100 years for this to be fully accomplished. Then Matthew 7, verse 28, another use of it. And it came to pass. This word pass is the same word. Again, always noticing here that it's something that comes in time, not something immediate, but it's something that indeed follows, comes to pass, eventually takes place. And so it says that it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. So again, by the context here, it's making clear that as time went along here, and by the time he had finished what he was saying, then something took place. They were astonished. They came to that point. Now, some came to it quicker and some came to it at different points, but by the time he was done, something had happened throughout the group. Matthew 8, verse 16. And when the even was come, same word, come, showing it's a process of time that something's going to take place. And just like evening here, you know, it doesn't happen. We know it's coming, but there's a process here of it getting darker in the sky, you know, and a process that takes place and time going on. So that's how it's used here. So again, when the even was come, it says they brought into him many that were possessed of demons and so forth. Matthew 18 and verse 3. Every one of these different words in English, but expressing a process here. And said, "Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become," same word, "and become as little children." It doesn't happen overnight, does it? We know that. We know a process here for all of us. And he goes on to say here, "You shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." Become a part of God's kingdom. We understand. This takes a long time. We understand the battle we have. That from the very beginning of the point in time where we come to a conviction in our life of baptism, that there is a long process. And we understand that so much of this has to do with humility. It has to do with meekness of spirit. And that's something that takes time to grow in. To become as a little child. And that isn't the way we're called. We're not like that as a whole when we're called. You know, God starts knocking some of the stuffing out of us, some of the pride out of us. But boy, we learn as we're converted in the sense of having God's Spirit in us, and we go through a process, we have a lot more to get rid of. Stuffing. air, hot air, whatever. Mark chapter 4 and verse 17. Another use. Speaking of those that... talking about various things here that are, as it says here, and have no root in themselves. So it talks about a process of time of seed that falls on different ground, that type of thing. And it talks about those who have no root in themselves and so endure for a time. And afterward, when affliction or persecution arises, when affliction, hard times, difficult times, hardships come, when Stress comes with what you believe. I think of what we've been through, and I think of what we have yet to go through, and some of what's going to come out in the sermon series. And persecution comes. You know, I think of Peter. And all of a sudden, one day, you know, this is before he's converted, but what a powerful lesson. A lot of the things that Peter went through, like Paul did, they were moved and motivated, and I can guarantee you, they remembered back to those occasions. Paul, when he gave nod to Stephen being killed, because he is the one that gave his nod of approval, yes, kill Stephen. And when Peter did what he did, when they went back to these things in their memory, that was a very sobering thing for them. It was a very humbling thing for them to keep in their minds, to remember back to that point in time and what they did. And Peter, you know, when they came and asked him, I've seen you before. Oh, no. You're mistaken. It's easy to do. You know, when all of a sudden someone comes knocking on your door, how do you respond? You know, that's life, isn't it? Puts a different perspective on things. And we have seen nothing yet. You know, but we're tried in those things. And God will fight our battles. God will be there. But it's something we have to decide and determine and rely upon ourselves. And so this example is being given here. And when affliction or persecution arises, same word. Look at all these ways. Different words are being used here. Comes to pass. Because, see, it comes to pass. You're going to be tried. Affliction or persecution, it's going to come in this calling. And a lot of times, obviously, it starts quite quickly. But there are things later on. As time goes on, you're going to be tried again. And again. And again. And again. It doesn't stop. See? And you're growing in character as you're going through these things. If you rely upon God, if you're continually looking to God, there's a process we go through. So here it says, and when persecution arises, come to pass, eventually it's going to take place. For the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And those things have happened. I've seen it happen again and again and again and again and again over so many years in God's church. 40 years. Mark chapter 4 and verse 32. Mark 4 and 32. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all herbs. You know, examples of mustard seed and, you know, how God's way and God's word. And so, talking about something when it's sown here, it grows up and becomes. Same word, becomes. We read earlier, becomes again here, greater than all herbs, and shoots out branches so that the fowl of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. Luke 21, verse 36. Watch you therefore. Very familiar with this one. Watch you therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass. Same word. It's in time. It doesn't happen immediately. It'll come to pass. And to stand before the Son of Man. That's what we look forward to. And the process we go through in our changing and becoming a part of God's family. And so it's showing again a process here. It will take place, but there's a process that takes place through time here that finally leads to a conclusion. Acts 10, verse 37. That word, speaking of the truth of the gospel, God's word going out through different ones preaching it. That word, I say, you know, which was published, same word, throughout all Judea. It's like saying that went forth, that which was accomplished is really more of what it's saying, but it's referring back to here, referring to what took place to spread the word or to get the word out there. And so they picked a word published, and this is not the word published at all, really. It has to do more with the process here of something coming to pass, how it came to pass, how it came into being. And that's the main thrust of it. And it says, and begin from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. So in other words, it had a beginning and begin to continue on. And anyway, Acts 11, verse 10. It says, and this was done, same word, three times. And all were drawn up into heaven again. This is the example of the cloth descending three times. Peter saw this vision and is speaking of the cloth. And it says, and this was done. Again, a process here of something that came to pass through time. And it says very specifically here, how many times? Here, three times. One more. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 4. Again, talking about attitudes of human beings and Paul explaining something here. He says, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words. whereof, or in other words, from which comes. See, time, same word. Something that's going to come to pass, something that follows. Whereof comes envy, strife, railings, evil suspicions. It doesn't happen immediately. It's a process, and something will come to pass out of it. That's what's being shown. And so again, going back here now to Revelation and looking at this particular word here. And the seven angels, which had the seven trumpets, prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, and there followed. Not immediately. That's the whole point of it. Especially if we understand the things that have been said in the book about the other three that have to take place and the purpose of them and what's being accomplished by them. That they are a greater fulfillment. They are a part of the first trumpet. If we understand, like the seals. I've mentioned this over and over again, that the first seal of what Mr. Tkach did in December 17th, 1994, was not a matter of something that happened instantaneously. It began a process that led into three other seals, actually, and even another one, but primarily the second, third, and fourth that accomplished far greater destruction of what Satan was doing. But he had his start then, and we're going to talk about some of that as we go back in the history of some things, of this journey of faith that we've been on, what God's been doing with us. It is an incredible thing to go back now, at this point in time, and look in hindsight and review some of those things of what we've come through. And so again, that first angel sounded and there followed. Came to pass, came into being, became. All those words that are used. It will happen. The physical part will come to pass. And then it says here, it talks about hail. Interesting word, generally used to mean hail in the Greek language, but carries the meaning of the Greek word, two words that it comes from, which means to let down and to strike. I guess it's the original word, I should say, that it comes from. To let down or to strike. How do you describe something of this nature? And so anyway, different words that are used. And fire, which means something that's fiery. It doesn't mean literally like we'd think of a piece of wood burning or whatever. But there's fire involved, something that's fiery. Mingle with blood. It's not hard to understand some of that, you know, what's being discussed here. You know, life that is taken, life that is destroyed. And they were cast upon the earth. And it talks about the third part of the trees, now the grass that was burnt up. So again, I want to mention here about this latter part here, as we've talked about before, that began. There's still a process of something going on. This is both a type of a prophetic fulfillment. There's a type of duality here, if you will. There's a type of a prophetic fulfillment, as I mentioned from the get-go, as God began to show some things here about what it means, especially in a prophetic type of way. There is a literal physical fulfillment, and there is a type of a prophetic fulfillment. How do you describe that exactly? Not the literal physical thing, but in this case, the quicker prophetic fulfillment of the result of a physical fulfillment. That's kind of a lot to say there. But anyway, basically, it's kind of like going back and looking at what happened when the sixth seal was opened. What happened in New York City, September the 11th, 2001, 9/11. And we see that was a prophetic type of a fulfillment of something that was to follow later on. It wasn't the actual event, even though that was a very physical thing. And what we see happening in this country, in many respects, is a very physical thing when we think about our economy, when we think about the dollar. But it's, you know, we look at physical green money, but it's more than that. And it's something here that we're living through as a process of time that's being destroyed. But how is it, you know, that which is taking place right now is a type of a prophetic thing that's going to follow in the second, third, fourth, and even fifth as we continue on, very much like the seals, where the actual physical part of it is going to be fulfilled. And it's the same thing, even as 9/11. It still pictures the same thing. This country and what's going to happen to it. Our prosperity, the prosperity of all of Israel is going to go down the tubes. And things we're experiencing already, we're experiencing those things. But the manifestation of the physical part of it has not yet occurred and could not occur before now. And so there will follow a literal physical fulfillment. And this is part of your journey of faith. It truly is. God isn't through teaching us. God isn't through preparing us. God isn't through preparing me to do the job I have to do. And in this sermon series is a part of that job of the sixth thunder being made louder. It's a part of this sermon series that we're going to go through right now. Some things, candidly, I really don't want to go into. but I know I have to. Anyway, what a journey we take. The next three trumpets, Revelation 8, beginning in verse 8. And the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. And the third part of the sea, now here's that word again, became blood. In other words, this is something that followed through time. It doesn't happen immediately, but it's a process that's going to happen, whatever period of time that is. It doesn't matter whether it's hours, weeks, or whatever. But it's showing here there's a process that's going to take place. And the third part of the creatures, which were in the sea, but what happens quickly when that second angel sounds is something that happens right away. And the third part of the creatures, which were in the sea, that had life, died. And the third part of the ships were destroyed. And we think about different things. What can this be? When can all these things take place? Let's get up this point to consider some different, if you will, possibilities or possible realities. And again, remember what I'd mentioned here about the earliest that Europe could arise is June the 27th, 2010. You know, that's not too far away. What's that mean about trumpet 2, 3, and 4? It means they're going to, if it happens at that point in time, and I do not have the foggiest idea. I'm not going to venture a guess on that because I don't know. God hasn't shown for great purpose and great reason. But that being the earliest, that means that three trumpets would have to take place very quickly, wouldn't it? Very quickly. And I hope we understand or are learning that it could be all the result of something that happens almost the same time. It could happen that way. Trumpet 2, 3, and 4. It could happen on the same day. So there are things we're going to see and we're going to learn in God's time. But again, to understand that things can happen quickly, they can happen swiftly, depending on God's purpose and what God's doing and how He's going to do it. And we'll understand that more in time. If it's something that goes on through until August the 21st, before that time, before Europe can arise, then it can still happen quickly. But what if God withholds number 2, 3, and 4 until just prior to this? How many are still going to be around? And I'll tell you right now, not all of you will be here. Not all of you that have been called will be here. You can't make it. The reason? Because some of you are going to sleep. Because some of you are letting Laodicea, the spirit of Laodicea, hit you. Some of you new people, you're allowing that to happen in your life because you have not been on a very long journey yet. You've been on a very short journey. And some, because they invested a few weeks and a few months into it, in the sense of their attitude and spirit, that I'll give it till that date, that period of time. And that period of time comes and goes, and all of a sudden, oh, what's going to come next? Why does this keep going? Look at what I've told my family. Look at what this means for me. Look at the seed that's scattered on the ground. And when persecution or affliction arises, what do? Sometimes we don't stick with it, and we don't continue in the journey. I can't give that to anyone. I can't give that determination, that conviction, to anyone, and neither can any of you. So some of you are going to see people go by the wayside. Hopefully not very many. But I'll tell you, absolutely, it's going to happen because it's already happened. It's already happened. Thankfully, not very much. But the longer it goes, the greater the potential, and the reality is it will happen. See? You have to want this way of life with all of your being. You've got to fight for all of your being. You truly do. And you have to be fully committed to follow God. That's what faith is. Whatever God gives to you, you're willing to do it, and you're willing to follow wherever God leads. All of you that have been around longer, I'm in Detroit today, so this is the original group. Those of you who were here from the beginning, you know, you understand what that means in ways that you can't give to anybody else because you've been down that road. You fought the fight. What a fight. All these years of what we've gone through to make us what we are today. This series is really good in that respect, and I think of how strengthened and encouraged you're going to be by the time you get through through this entire series, because it's good that we remember where we came from, where we have been, where we are now, and where we're going. Because God has molded and fashioned things in you that sometimes we don't grasp and we don't comprehend how great it is until we're in the midst of the greatest battle of life, and we're not quite there yet. But we've been through some mighty big battles. We truly have. And the character that's been molded and fashioned in God's people is an inspiring, an exciting, and an awesome thing. Sometimes we don't recognize it being as great as it is. But it's great. It truly is. Some of the things God has planned for you, don't need to go there. It's not small. So again, for the three trumpets, going to be interesting to see how it all comes to pass. It truly is. It can happen quickly. And for the sake of some who are going to have greater battles, for their sakes, in some respects, but not for them. How can I explain that one? Candidly, the longer this can go, the better it is for us, for mankind, for this earth. Revelation 8 and verse 10, "And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon a third part of the rivers, and upon the fountains of the waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood, and the third part of the waters," same word, "became." In other words, this is something that follows after this takes place. And what happens to the waters? It doesn't happen immediately. You know when a nuclear weapon goes off, or several go off, and things begin to drift, and they begin to settle? You know one of the great things that's affected? Your water. Your water supply. And slowly but surely, the rains come, and it washes into the river. And slowly but surely, everything dies. Slowly but surely, everything is polluted, or at least a third of it. "And many men died of the waters, because they were made bitter. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon." What does that mean? It could be from one great event at the exact same time, on the exact same day. Because it's talking about that which is thrown up into the atmosphere as a result of it. That which cuts off in certain regions of the country the ability of the sun to come through. It's powerful what one volcano can do. Let alone some nuclear weapons going off and what that can throw into the atmosphere. One of the scientists' greatest fears about a nuclear war is the nuclear winter that follows. And this world will experience nuclear winter, primarily after the Chinese and Russia and some of them do what they do. It's going to be a horrifying time, and thank God it's going to be a short time, that part, truly. In verse 13, "And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels who are yet to sound." Because if other three that are following are far worse, the next one is the fifth. The first woe, Europe. And the second is what China and Russia do. The second woe, the sixth trumpet. And the seventh trumpet is what God Almighty does, and Jesus Christ does as He's returning on that very day. When the trumpet blows, then in that day follows the seven last plagues. So again, these are things soon to take place in our journey as we go forward in faith. So how you choose to live your life over the next few months will be as it has been, really. It's a matter of going forward in faith. How we've come to where we are, and that's how you're going to continue to go forward. But don't take that as something that's always going to be in you, where you are even right now. You have got to continue to do what God has always said you have to do. Watch. Be on guard. Be spiritually alert. And that warning is to self. It's to our spiritual condition of where we are and what we're doing and what is our practice and how much do we really hunger for this way of life. How much are we truly on guard spiritually? Fighting the battles we need to fight. Making certain that we're not doing things that are cutting us off from the flow of God's Spirit, that we're truly repenting of sin and fighting this more than ever before now, say, because of where we are, even more so, realizing how close things are upon us. There's still a time frame taking place here that God is going to fulfill by May the 27th, 2012. That's reality. And so again, in other words, because of our convictions of these truths, of the eventual fulfillment of these prophecies I've just talked about, and those that are going to follow, the decisions we make concerning this future, again, the trumpets that are going to come to pass, will reflect that faith, the decisions and choices we make over the weeks to come. I thought I'd mention some things today just to bring people up to date of what's taking place, of what we've done over several years now as a part of history and what we're doing now. The reason that Laura and I do everything that we do is because of what we believe about these soon coming events. And that's how all of us should be living our lives. And I understand that the primary group that's been here for a long time, that's how you have learned to live your lives. That's why everything. And we need to grow in that, however. Everything. Every decision you make. Every choice you make about your future. Where you're going. What you're doing right now. Everything needs to be based upon where we are in time. See? Not all have done that. Most have, that have been around for a long time. Say, but not everyone has. Most have. And all who are new, you're still being tried in those things. You're still having to make choices and decisions. Say, for some things are already set because they're set. God knows it. The senior elders and evangelist meeting we're having in Las Vegas next week. Because of this, decided we wouldn't have a full-scale elders meeting as we've had in the last couple of years. This one here, as a matter of something, because now we've come to a point in time with the way things are structured, with the way things are set up, that we can have this meeting with all of us together, those who deal with all the rest of the body in the sense of the elders and the organization that God has blessed us to have now that is running very well considering the time frame we have been given and the lessons and things that everyone has learned out here, and then giving them the ability to better manage and care for and take care of those things that God has given to us, and then all that being able to be passed along even just as a matter of something that they can, elders can listen to as time goes on here that will be put on the system for them. But God has given us the training we need to bring us to this point in time. And there's still a little bit more here that needs to be refined. And so, hence the meetings. But we're doing it quickly so. Another round of trips that we're making that I put on the site, going all the way up to the time of the fast and the Sabbath afterwards, because I think the Sabbath afterwards I show us being in Detroit. All the way up to February, the first Sabbath and the second Sabbath. You know, that's all the farther I've gone with trips. But you see, we're going to cram as many places in as fast as we can, as quickly as we can, and start another round if we need to, if God's willing, if He gives us that time, more than we've ever done before. And I hope we have time for a second round, but I don't know. But I know God's placed upon me a greater sense of urgency to do these things. Right? Because we're getting closer. We don't have more time. We have less time. Say. I thought I'd mention this one too. Our continual, except to now, but we have continued to purchase gold for the church and even some personal. Do I expect others to do that? No. And please understand, we don't depend upon that. We don't rely upon that. Okay? But we have done some of those things, and we started doing it going quite a ways back. When we were still in Toledo area. Some silver back then. Going back into not too long after 9/11, starting at a point in time there. Actually, some of that was done before that. That was right, because we were still together as a big group there in Toledo area. So some was even purchased back there before that. Because why? Because we believed and have always believed we're in the end time. But we believe more that we're getting closer and closer. We didn't know what the timing was. See? We didn't know. Even by 2005 when I had a heart attack, I didn't know. But we knew it was closer because at that time, I told my wife, we discussed it before the operation. Hey, if I don't make it, God's church goes on. I'm not worried. God will raise up whomever he needs. Give them whatever help they need to accomplish and do what needs to be done. No hesitation there whatsoever. It was right after that, he showed me a bigger job that was in front of me. You know, they're not through with you yet. Anyway, incredible. So we have done some of those things in time past just to let everyone know, although some who have been around for a long time already know some of that. Should others do that? As a whole, no. But what we're doing is a little unique because it's about the church. And this won't last very long because what prophecy do we understand that we believe with all of our being? There comes a time when they throw it in the streets. What good is it? But it does last longer than the dollar. See, there are some things that are going to last longer than the dollar. And some of what happened back in the 30s will probably happen again. That probably won't last too long before they call it all back in. Yeah, because they're going to have to. But to give us a little more time, there are matters of wisdom, of things we plan. And that's why I thought I'd go through some of this thing. The depositing of some dollars and euros and safety deposit along with gold. Some of the same thing. Now, should others get euros? Well, some have. But again, what is it going to do after a certain point in time for most people? You know, Laura and my situation are a little unique in what we're going to be able to do and what God's given us to do and to accomplish. And he's given us the means whereby to do some of those things. And some of that is in part of this planning. Truly is. And again, these things have been going on for over 7 years now that we've been doing. And we're very set right now. We are ready. We're ready. I think of even, some people don't realize what's happened, and some new people don't know about it, but I can't even think of the time that took place. I guess it started in 2003, where monies were put in Switzerland. Church, you know, to take care of the church. Why? Because I had a strong feeling at that time we'd probably end up in Switzerland, in Europe, somewhere, at some time in the future. And as time has gone along, I still know that I'm going to end up, and Laura's going to end up in Europe. Okay? But some things have changed, and some of those things change and go with time because of what God allows Satan to see and believe, because there are still battles going on. That's an amazing thing that I've really come to see over the last couple of years that God has shown in a very powerful way. He's bringing an end to that being. He's bringing an end to everything about that being and those who have followed him. But there are battles that go on that God allows. That's why so often anymore I've just gotten to the point where when certain things happen, I just kind of laugh at it. Maybe not immediately, because sometimes things aren't real funny as they're happening. Like right now, if the internet goes off, I'm not going to be real happy about it, but you know, I'm fully expecting it can happen. What was I told just before services? Last night, somewhere we're staying here, it went off. It went off again this morning here a few times. It was lost several times before services. It was like, this can happen today. So, just so you're informed that it's been going off here in the hotel and they've had to redo it and call in and get some things taken care of. And I thought, well, there we go again. No big deal. And I made a comment, well, hopefully by the time services are here, it's going to run all the way through services. And I won't have to redo this. But I understand it being out there and beings that don't want, as we become stronger, for this to go out. I understand that, you know. Yeah, it's just the way it is. A world would laugh at that, but one day they won't. They'll understand. We understand. That's why when I talk about our New Zealand, you know, it wasn't a big surprise. You know, I still laugh about it. When I think about, we went from Melbourne to Auckland, knowing, being told that all the flights are going to be behind in Auckland because worldwide their computers went out. So, feeling full well, we're just going to be able to get from one jet to another and take off again for the U.S. And of all the flights out of Auckland, that was the only one that left on time. Ours. You know, it was like, that makes good sense. That's kind of the way things go. So you just roll with the punches. It's a battle. It's in the midst of a battle. And you don't think a whole lot of it. In that respect, you just roll with the punches and some of it's inconvenient and, big deal. That's pretty small in the scheme of things. It truly is. It truly is. Very small. Anyway, I thought I'd mention that, of all those monies that were sent over to Switzerland in the beginning of this year, we brought it back to using Google. And we've been increasing the Google ads. And we're using as much as we can for as long as we can. And God's the one in charge. God's the one that leads and guides and directs all of it. And I think of where we are right now, we've actually picked it back up a little bit more right now, Google ads, because we're taking advantage of an advertisement out there right now. Don't know if you all know what it is. 2012. The movie. You know? Okay. And God's using that. You know? And what they do in part of their ads of their movie, it says, do a search for 2012. That's what people are told to do. They're encouraged to do a search for 2012. You think, oh, that's amazing. We don't have to put that out there. And they're saying, do a search for 2012. And we pop up a lot. Not all the time, but we pop up a lot because of what we're able to put into it. And God's going to use that. Yeah. There's a continuing process here. It's exciting to see how things come to pass and transpire in time. But everything we do has always been, and even more so, and I know as a whole in your lives too, but please understand, that needs to occur more in your thinking. Everything. Everything is about where we are in time. Everything we plan and think about in the future has to be based upon what we believe. That's what faith is. And so if some of you are still struggling with some of those things, get on board. You have to ask God for that help. You have to ask God for that conviction, to be fully committed, to be fully convicted of what you're doing. Otherwise, if we're not, you know what? We hold back. We'll hold something back in our lives, conviction of some sort. And those are dangerous things, because if we're not fully committed and convicted in our thinking, then certain trials can come along and hurt us and catch us off guard. Watchful, being on guard. That's what it's all about. It truly is. And as I've said in times past, but since there are many new people, I want to mention something else that has come up of recent time that I want to make sure that everyone has understood very well. Laura and I do something else a little unique because of our traveling. We've had and do carry with us certain jewelry, of which some of the church has purchased portions, and we have others as well, ourselves, that we are using for one purpose only, and that's bartering. Wherever we might be at some point in time, whether I don't care where it is, that we be prepared for whatever takes place. The ability to barter transportation or whatever thing else we need to do to get from one place to another, to do something else that might need to be accomplished. And that's just a matter of wisdom. Can God work it out at that moment in time? Absolutely. But we're to be wise. We're to be shrewd in how we deal with things. And some of our planning and some of what God leads us to is a part of that process of how God leads and guides and directs us. Say, not something I ask anyone approval for. I don't care who disagrees. It doesn't matter. Because I'm concerned with what God does and what God gives. And that's the way we live our lives, isn't it? So that's how you have to live your life. You know, if others don't agree with it, I don't care. They can take a flying leap. I'm not afraid of them. I'm not afraid of anyone. I can't be, and she can't be, all the way to the end. And neither should you be. Whatever comes your way, it's a part of God's purpose, and it's a part of God's plan. If you are God's, everything in your life truly is in God's hands. By God's molding and fashioning you, leading and guiding and directing you, He has purpose in whatever happens to your life. He will not allow anything to happen to you, but what is a part of what He allows. And if something happens, you can count on it. That there is that which God is deeply involved in. He loves us with love you cannot begin to comprehend. Especially the church. He loves the whole world. But the whole world isn't called into the church yet. Their time is later on. Our time is right now. And God loves everyone in the body with immense love, truly. And looking forward to the times that we go through various things, that He will intervene to show forth His great power, His great mercy, and His great love like He's done throughout time. When He has intervened in some of the greatest of ways, in the greatest of stories in this book. God is looking forward to more being written. Inspiring stories, exciting stories of things that God has brought to pass that there are a lot of you, not a few, who are going to be a part of. Truly. Just as God told Esther, or what was told to Esther through Mordecai, how do you know that God hasn't brought you to this moment of time to do this? It's about glorifying God and the power and the might of God. It truly is. And it's exciting. So again, I wanted to mention some of those things and continue mentioning a few others, that everything we do, every decision you make should be based upon what you know about where we are and where we're going and how time is really getting scrunched together more and more and more the farther we go forward, truly. Okay. But in all these things I've mentioned here, even in these, we don't put our trust in, and not a one of us is to put a trust in anything we have put aside, even in food reserves, water, it doesn't matter. We don't put our trust in those things. We do enough to get by or to get through a trial for a little while. Everything you can set aside, anything you do set aside, may be able to be used in a certain emergency at a certain moment in time. Not for very long. The reality is God has to carry you through the whole period of time, through everything that's taking place. And that's where our trust is. See? There's a balance in all of those things. And God wants us to be very balanced. And not to put, isn't that an amazing thing? We don't put our trust in what we can do, what we can save up, what big hole we can dig. You know, you can't build one big enough, and you can't stock it enough to bring you through. There are people in the world who believe that, to think that. There are people who do that because they see bad things happening in the world around them, and there are people who live in fear, and they have had a lot of money put into some of these places that they want to protect, and the reality is you can't do it. Moving our websites out of the United States into Europe and different places, a part of this planning, because we understand where we are in time. All of our thinking, everything we do concerning the church is about the church and what God is doing. In Europe, why not here? Common sense should dictate and should tell us why. See? Purchasing a portable satellite communication device that uses a high-orbiting French system. Awesome. Of all things. Why their system? Common sense ought to tell us why. See? Generator systems and photoelectric cells to give you some extra power for a little while. I can be anywhere in the world when the time comes. Point a little device that's the size of my computer up in the night sky or the day sky. And if God's willing, if those things are there at that point in time and it's to go out, it's going to go out. Sermons. They'll still be put out there. Where people can receive them in different parts of the world, that's in God's hands and God's timing. And when or when you can't hear in the United States, it's going to vary from time to time. See? But isn't it awesome? The preparations of things that God has given to us to be able to have, to be able to prepare to do, the technology that's there of something you can carry around in a little briefcase. Well, incredible to have such ability, capability in the world at this time. It's awesome. But again, all for a purpose. All because of certain thinking, because everything is about the church and where God is leading us. Everything. It's incredible. Again, as I mentioned, storing up food, medical supplies, the supply of water. And I want to mention that again, medical supplies. I hope some of us have put away some of those kinds of things as well. I know a bunch of you have. But I hope we're not just thinking about ourselves. When I ordered a bunch of those things, I thought about our neighbors. Your ability to help others. That's why I'm thankful that we have so many who have training in the church, nursing and so forth, some of those kinds of things. What an awesome thing to be able to help others around us when the time comes. Not to be concerned about our own welfare and our own life, but to realize we have an opportunity to help others at an incredible time of need in this world, and to realize God's going to take care of you. God will take care of you. I don't care what it is. I don't care what plague it is. And if you died, not a better way of dying than to living this way of life, to do what God has given us, to to be a light, to be an example, and to know that God, your life's in God's hands. You know, hadn't better be in ours. If there's a purpose behind it, so be it. It's exciting. God will take care of us, whatever that is. Supplies of water, batteries, cooking equipment, different things we've done in the church. Why? Because we believe. It's a journey of faith. It's what it's all about. You know, it's a matter of wisdom. That's all it is, simply a matter of wisdom. And actually, so much of this part here is even actually in alignment with government agencies. Not just in this country, but in other places around the world, about preparations that people should make. Because of things like pandemic, you know, different parts of the world have different reasons for it. New Zealand, a lot of theirs are because of everything they have there is built upon some pretty tough areas of the world. Volcanoes. Tough region of the world, so their concern is in large part a lot of earthquakes. Not just pandemic. How you handle your finances in every way should reflect what you believe. Some people get into all kinds of things at times like that. They wonder what to do and how to do it. And oh, I thought I was thinking about finances, but I could take a little advantage here of some of this. And now the bills are due because time has gone on a little longer. Yeah, we learn from that too, don't we? So we have to use wisdom, you know, and ask God for help to be wise in how we deal with it and so forth. And you know, if you can prolong something, there's nothing wrong with that. If you have the ability of normal times to take care of it. But to put things as far away as they are, no problem with that whatsoever. So let's remind ourselves of these basic principles of faith that others have had to live by, because I find this awesomely inspiring. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 6, but without faith, it's impossible to please Him, speaking of God. Why? What is it talking about here? Because if we're not living by faith, then we don't really believe God. Not in everything. We're not fully committed. We're not fully convicted. Because that's what faith is about. It's about believing God. It's about believing what God gives to us. It doesn't matter when we live or what time period people have lived in, those who are called by God, you know, the decisions that they make have to do with what they believe. And if we're not living by those things that God has given us to believe, in every bit of it, not, we can't pick and choose. We can't choose part of it and not the rest. Especially now, I think about where we are in time. We can't pick and choose about this and think, well, I'm gonna do this just in case. Just in case it doesn't happen that time. Just in case. What does that mean? Just in case. Something's wrong. Something is spiritually wrong. As much as what was given to us in 2005. Either we see it or we don't. What has been given to us throughout time here that God has continually given to us. Either we see it or we don't. And if God has given us the ability to see it, then what decision have we made concerning that knowledge? Because every decision we make then has to do with what we believe. And if we're not making the decisions that are based on what God has given us to believe, then we're not living by faith. It's not just a matter of truth. It's about how you live your life day by day by day. And it doesn't have to do just with the law of God or the truths of God. That should be a given. But you build upon that because at various times through history, God has given His people what? More. More. That have to do with timing. And what He's doing. And what He's bringing to pass. That's in addition to the most basic and fundamental part of His Word and His law. So He gives to His people more because of where we are and what we're to be doing and what we're a part of. And then how we respond to that and act upon that truly reflects faith. Faith. It's an awesome thing. So without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And so if we're not convicted with all of our being, with all of our being to God, we have to cry out to God and say, God, I've been holding back. Because if you hold back, it's a horribly dangerous spiritual state. See? It truly is. Ask God for help in your spirit and your being, especially those of you who are new, because you're babes. You're new. And you have a battle in front of you. But what's amazing is what you're going to reap as a result of your calling. Not many people have been offered through time what you're offered, mainly because of when they lived in time. Incredible. For he that comes to God must believe that he is. Now we can say, yeah, I believe God is. A lot of the world believes God, believes that there's a God. We're talking about the truth. We're talking about what God gives to believe to each individual that's called, that's worked with. And it's what, not just believing his existence, you know, it goes way beyond that. It's believing everything that he gives. It's like the expression or some of the things about, you know, believing in Christ and what the Protestant world teaches and so forth. You know, Mr. Armstrong made very clear, no, it's believing what he said, believing what he gave. And ours is a matter of believing what God gives and what he's spoken to us and what he speaks to us. He gives to us every Sabbath. Every Sabbath and every holy day. He speaks to us. He gives to us. You know, think of the song. God speaks to us. By his great power we're led. Beautiful. What that means. Must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. Why do you put it that way? Why is it written like this? Because you've got to fight for it. It can't be done halfway. It can't be done three-quarters of the way. It has to be done diligently, with great effort, with great desire. You've got to fight for it. You have to work for it. And that's what part of this series is about. You know, it's understanding the journey we've been on, where we are now, and where we're going. And you've got to fight for it. You truly do. You've got to want it with all of your being. And if we're holding back, if we're not, you know, reacting, responding to everything he's given to us, we're going to have battles. And with those battles sometimes can come greater weakness and greater temptation that can pull us away. What a horrible time of all times at this moment in time, in the final 980 days and less, that we could be pulled away, that we could lose, that we could lose out. Oh, it can still happen because it's still happening. See? And it's going to continue to happen. Hopefully, prayerfully, not in large part. Hopefully in a small amount. But it's an incredible thing to think of all times in human history, at this moment in time, that anyone could lose out after a process has begun. So don't ever take anything for granted. See? Fight for it. Ask God for help. Fight for it. A rewarder of them who diligently seek him. What is our life like? Is it just going back and forth from Sabbath services and that constitutes pretty much our being in the church of God? Or day by day, do we think about where we are? And do we talk to God about where we are and what we're doing and the choices and decisions we're making? And how much do we hunger for what he's given to us? And how much do we go back over the things that we have available at our fingertips? You know, if you run out of things you think you might be able to do, go to the topic section of the website. Go to the topics section and learn those things by heart. Incredible knowledge there. Incredible balance and understanding of things that we need to have in God's church. See? Incredible, the information that God's given to us of subject after subject after subject in the FAQ in different areas. Anyway, we're not doing those things and we're just kind of strolling through this life, especially now at this time, the end time. Doesn't say much for us. We've got to fight. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen. And we are still being warned about things not yet seen, aren't we? That's what faith is all about. It's believing God and acting upon it, preparing, thinking about it, but believing it with all of our being. And that's not something anyone can give to anyone. It has to do with your close relationship with God because you diligently seek Him. See?
moved with fear. You cannot move with fear. In other words, an understanding what it means, especially now, what it means to be moved with fear, because you so believe what's coming to pass that you fear not responding to God. That's a great motivator, to fear not to respond to God. I don't want to miss out. I don't want to fail. I don't want to have some trial come along. I don't want to, at some point here now, be someone who goes by the wayside of all times in the final period of 6,000 years, the final countdown. What a horrible thing to have that written about me. Because some will fulfill that witness as well. Don't let it be you. Choices. Moved with fear. Can you imagine how people would think in a future time, in the millennium or the great white throne? You did what? You were given this then and you did what? You're kidding me. You were right up to the wire. And this time was upon you and you were told and you were living in it. And you weren't sober to the bottom of your socks. Anyway, you think that won't happen? Well, there are going to be people in different areas that say that exact thing to some people in times past. Especially now. Moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. It's what we're striving to do. I have a great desire to the saving of God's house. But I can't give it to anyone. God can't give it to anyone. He's done everything to give it to us. You know, you can't give it to your best friend. You can't give it to your mate. You can't give it to your child. You can't give it to your parent. You can't give it. You can't give it. You can't give it. It's yours to fight for. And you can pray for others and hope for others and desire for others. But you can't give this to anyone, can you? We've learned that mightily, don't we? By the which he condemned the world. Isn't that awesome? Because we respond to God. It's in essence here, not that he condemned the world, he judged the world. That's what it's about. And became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. An heir of righteousness. You know, God attributed that to him for righteousness because he believed him. Everyone who believes God and acts upon what he's given to us is what faith is. And that's how we're accounted as being righteous before him. Because I hope all of us are learning in a very powerful way. Not a one of us is righteous. Sometimes we look at others and shake our head and think, how could so-and-so do that? How could this person do that? How could that new person do that? How could that older person do that? And I think, let's put up a spiritual mirror. Look at your own life. Look at yourself. Do you not see self? So is it so hard to believe that other people can make mistakes and stumble and sin and do dumb things? Because look at you, you've stumbled and sinned and you've done some dumb things. I do. You do. We all do. And if we don't see those things, then we don't get it. But I hear things from time to time that people say about someone else or about a different person or about some whatever, and I think... And now some things we're striving to... sometimes the people who take this the most serious things I say are the people who need it the least. Because what you're doing is you're moved and examine yourself and everything. And that's good. And that's why you are where you are. But sometimes we look at things because we're striving to judge and we ask for help to make sure we're judging and thinking properly. And that's one thing. But sometimes people are just going through life not thinking about judging and so forth. And so, again... All we have to do, you know, that's a greater lesson of humility. Greater lessons in humility is just being able to see self. Should be a shock, you know. Anyway, humility is such a beautiful thing. It truly is. I marvel at it. And I'm still being molded in fashion humility. To be able to put on sackcloth, to keep it on continually. And something you have to fight for, seek. And there are many times that God just comes along and gives you some more. So you can put on more. See? Because that's what it's about. It's about getting rid of every fabric, every fiber, every part of pride and resistance to God. And I'll tell you later in a series about a little bit of resistance I've still had in some things that God is taking out of me. Because I haven't wanted to focus upon them. As I haven't wanted to do a lot of things in the last 17th, 1994. Yeah. And beyond. And so we understand. Hopefully. By faith, Noah, being warned of things yet to come, moved with fear, prepared an ark, saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world. He judged the world. In other words, you know what it's saying here in a very powerful way? He was in oneness with God. Because he responded and acted upon it, he was in agreement with God. What do? We see the need. I am not over my training. You are not over your training. And God being convicting you of his righteous judgment. That's why I marvel at some of the things that are said later on as things continue forward when the proclamation goes out to God, toward God, from the angelic realm. Your judgments are righteous when the greatest times of disaster come upon this earth, because that's, you know, it's a matter of declaring that and being in agreement with God to understand God's purpose for allowing and bringing some to pass the things that he does, because it's a matter of righteousness. It's an awesome thing to understand. And so it's a matter of agreement with God to understand the need for mankind to be humble, that and why God's kingdom could not start in any other way. That's an awesome thing to grasp and comprehend, why God's kingdom cannot be here on this earth just because if Jesus Christ were to come today, because that's how the world thinks. Well, why can't he come now and just tell us? We would all follow. Bull. You don't understand your mind. You know, we people don't. Even when God calls us, he said, you don't understand your mind. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. We can't see it unless God helps us to begin to see it. And that's the only way to begin to understand how we think and why we think the way we do and why things have to happen exactly as they do. In God's mercy and in God's love and in God's time. God is so incredibly patient and so incredibly merciful and filled with incredible love, far beyond what we comprehend. We learn it through time. We grow in it in time, and we're going to learn a whole lot more. And we really can't grasp some of that until we're changed. Well, most of it. By the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Let's back up to verse 1. Now faith is the substance, the grounds, the support, like concrete. That holds everything up. That holds everything together. It is the support. So faith is the substance of things hoped for. See? That's what props everything up for us. That we believe, that we see, that God has given to us. And then we choose to live by it. And that strengthens us up. Strengthens us, yes, up. It makes us stronger. We're able to stand upright then in a stronger way spiritually because of our acting upon what God has given us to believe. And the very response to God, believing what he's given to us, is the very thing that holds us up and makes us stronger. And just by going through this series that we're going through right now, it's going to have different meaning to different people. And I'll guarantee you those who have been around for the longest are the ones that's going to have the greatest impact upon once we go through our history, our journey, where we've been, how God took us along this path every bit of the way, and our being inspired by it to see the choices we made, a matter of faith, all along the way that God led us in to make us as strong as we are to this point in time, to bring us to where we are today. It's an incredible thing, inspiring thing. It truly is. And important to have that, to have more of that before we have to enter into what we're going to enter into. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You don't have to see it. So what are we going through right now? I struggle with things. You struggle with things. I know. It's like I made a comment here the last sermon. I wasn't so cocky to not believe that I have all the answers of life, that I don't have to repent of many things in my life, but I know the merciful God we serve. Truly. Why I said what I did about trumpets. I took it in a sober way, knowing what it could mean. What a better time to show something, to prove something, just as God did to the church. But Thankfully, that's not the case, and I didn't believe that it was, but, you know. Do we think about things and choices we make? Absolutely. That's a part of our growing process. The evidence of things not seen. And so the stronger you become, the more you live by faith, the more you don't hold back some portion of your life and don't give it to God and surrender and give it to God. Something we hold back and we're not fully committed and fully convicted, then we're not believing God in some area of our life. And because of that, that can make us weak and vulnerable. You know, truly. It's a total commitment and conviction. Truly. And so, faith and the strength of that, the evidence becomes stronger and stronger. We don't have to have that which is physical, and yet God's going to give it to the world and to us in short time here. But look what we've gone through, and we've continued on. I marvel at that. I marvel at that. I marvel at how God made us stronger because of what we went through, that we wouldn't be able to have the strength we do or come this far if we hadn't gone through what we did in the timing of and the revelation of the proper 1335 and the 50th truth and the change that is not trumpets, it's Pentecost. Incredible. The evidence of things not seen, whereby we are made stronger. Whereby at the elders obtained a good report. You know, where you become so strong that you do not care what anyone else has to say negative about you, mocking toward you. It's like water off a duck's back because you understand where they're coming from, that they cannot see nor understand. And you don't take it personally because it's about God. And it's about a relationship with God that the world just doesn't have. And you know that in God's time, everything will occur. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. I think of this morning getting so aggravated when we woke up, turned on the TV and we saw this thing about going through and looking at the news and skimming through some of the channels, came to this one that was talking about the universe and the Big Bang. This, I mean, it was big. And of all the things that scientists were talking about and some of the stupid examples they gave about how they can understand now the light that's going out to the... It's like this ball. The whole universe is in this ball. And everything's going out from the center because that's where the Big Bang was. And it must have been something huge that was there to break up and fragment into so many pieces. If you look at the universe that's out there and all the perfect order that came from it, it's like they gave these little experiments to show that you have an explosion and there's these fragments out there and there's order in the fragments that are blown out there. Yeah, if you want to. I've never seen a solar system come out of it yet, but hey. Yeah, anyway, some of the stupidity, and you go back to it and think, well, where'd that come from? And then it's like there's this great big ball and they're wondering what's beyond that, and it's like, anyway, I get so aggravated when I see those things on TV and the wisdom of mankind, the intellect of mankind. I think you are like a blubbering idiot, you know, just little, you know, I mean, with no sense, no common sense, no soundness. You think a scientist, they're supposed to be objective in their thinking. They're supposed to be to look at things honestly. Physical, that have answers to it. And they won't address the most basic of things. You know? Please tell me where that big blob came from that was... We can't even begin to comprehend how big it had to be when it finally blew up and threw everything out there. Sorry. I just get so upset when I see those things because I think of the ignorance. Man thinks he's wise and smart and intellectual. And we are so stupid. We truly are. Our intellect is absolutely ignorant. Yeah, that's why God says He laughs at us and will mock our mocking. He looks so stupid. So again, we believe God. We believe God. We believe those things exist because He brought it into being. What He brings into being, and He brought everything into being. Everything in the spirit world. It's awesome to understand the knowledge that God's given to us of those things. God has brought everything into being. Everything that exists is because of God. If God didn't exist, I don't even want to go there. Hebrews 11, verse 8. And so again, faith, what an awesome thing to understand the power and the strength that God gives to us of how we're to live our lives because of believing Him and acting upon that. Everything we do should be based upon that. Every choice and decision we make should be based upon not just the law of God. That's made us what we are, being in unity and oneness with God because of the laws of God, because of the truth of God. Those are the basis, the building blocks. But what about everything else? What about the millennium? What about the great white throne? What about God's family in the future when we're finally all at one? Because we will be the sum of everything that is there as far as the law, oneness, agreement with God. It won't be an issue. The law is not an issue. We don't have to have law. There's no purpose of it because we are at one with God. We have the same mind of God when we're in a God family. We're in total unity and agreement. There's nothing to regulate. We have to have law because of human life, do's and don'ts, because we're dumb, because we don't understand how we're supposed to live. We don't understand. You know, God has to show us, don't do this. Don't touch the stove. You know, you're going to get burnt. You know, don't do this. And so we love to touch the stove. We just live that way. You know, we just touch the stove. It just draws us. It draws us. I touch the stove. I still touch the stove. I'm sick of it. I've been burnt so many times. Yeah. Been burnt so many times. Think how many dumb times do you have to do the same thing? But we do. Because we have something different in us. It's called the lust of the flesh, the pride of, you know, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That sums us up. That's what we are. And it's just like a giant magnet. It's like a mosquito to a light. You know, every time we do it, you know, and we reach out and touch it. You think, when are you going to quit touching it? You know, when are you going to get to that point? And I am of the conviction now, more than ever before in my life, when I'm in the God family, I'll quit touching the stupid light. You know, the stove or whatever. Anyway, deeply convicted of that. I know that with all my being. I truly do. And look what we have to go through. Years and years and years of having flesh burnt off to learn the lesson. Because we just keep touching it. By faith, Abraham, verse 8, when he was called to go out, and that really helps us a lot in our judgment of others. I have learned, I have to say certain things when people do certain sins. I have to address things. When it comes to the church, sometimes I have to get involved. But as a whole, I've learned to back off, to back away, to give time, to have patience. Because I know myself. Now, there are times that you can't do that anymore, and you have to have a responsibility to follow through. But I've learned in great ways those things about God's judgment, mercy and faith, the mercy part, patience, time, and not being harsh in judgment upon others. Because I see myself, I know myself. You know, it really helps a judgment a lot of not being hard on other people. You'll back off a lot when you see yourself more clearly and you won't be as hard on people. You know, truly. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out to a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed and he went out. So that's what we're doing. We're almost there. We're almost there. Incredible. So we've gone out. We're doing the same thing. You know, my life since 19 has been that way. Awesome. I think back. We were told to plan 10 years ahead, but know that you may have to be acting upon certain things tomorrow, next week, next month. And so we planned 10 years ahead. We weren't sure where to have children because we were planning 5 to 10 years ahead by that time. Still 10 years ahead, I think, of most of our teaching at that point. Later on, it kind of went to 5 and 10. We started getting a little closer in our thinking. You know, but still thinking, what is it all about? The end time. We're living in the end time. We knew that. We understood that. We knew Europe was going to rise. Mr. Armstrong, God gave that to him in a very powerful way. And that evidence has been there for a long time. Those things are, you know, still coming to pass. The United States of Europe, they've been long in coming since 1950s, early. My wife's father. What? No, I am speaking of your father. She thought I was going to tell a different story. Anyway, her father came to visit when we lived in Houston at one time, and you shared the good news with him that child is on the way. It didn't hit him in the same way as it hit us. He was concerned. Do you know why? Because of the times we live in. And now she's in her 30s. Early. You know? But that's the way we thought. That's the way we planned. That's the way we lived our lives, because we weren't sure. We didn't know. We knew that, and we knew what it's going to be like for children. That's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult to go through, especially at that time, what we conceived it was going to be like. Some horrifying stories, because of Fox's Book of Martyrs that ministers taught out of. And, you know, you talk about being on the edge of your seat and scared to death because of different things you thought might come to pass. And anyway, y'all think it's going to be horrible, but boy, there were some things given that are horribly descriptive. Anyway, that was how he thought. And every time we would get a new car, a different car, it was like, this is the last one. Since the 70s, into the 80s, this is the last car we're going to have to get. This is probably the last one we're ever have to buy again. Last time we're going to have to go to the bank and sign a note. This is it. I'm serious. Every car that we've had, this one is the last. This I know. Because the timeline God's given us. But isn't that amazing? I mean, this is how people in God's church have lived their lives for a long, long time, because of things we've seen and believed, and we've acted upon that. And that's how we're able to continue on, because this is what's made up our lives. It's just that time frame has gotten shorter and shorter and shorter, and we're in it now. It's an awesome thing to understand. That's why there are some things that... Anyway, that'll come out in the sermon later. And so again, here about Abraham. He obeyed. And we've done the same thing. We've obeyed. We've responded. We believe it. Not knowing exactly when. Not knowing exactly how. Just like Abraham. Look how distant things were from that time. Look how much time was going to go by, and what God was going to do in a family. For generations and generations and hundreds of years. Hundreds of years. Family going into captivity, a family being brought out of captivity, becoming a nation, going into captivity again, part of it being lost, most of it being lost, lost 10 tribes. Oh, amazing what we've been through time. Went out not knowing where he went. He obeyed, went out following God, not knowing where he went, but just believing God. By faith, he journeyed in a land of promise. That's why we're talking about a journey of faith. That's what it's about. It's about a journey from the time God calls you to the time it's complete. And it's an awesome journey. I'm excited by what we've been through. I'm excited because I realize that I wouldn't be who I am today. I wouldn't be where I am today. I wouldn't know what I know today. I wouldn't grasp what I grasp today if I hadn't gone through every trial, every hardship, everything that's been difficult, because that's what makes us what we are when God's involved. See? It's through those things that God has molded and fashioned character within us. Every time you repent, you grow a little more in character, and sometimes that's hard for us to understand. That's why I tell people always, 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 one of the primary things to always remember, fight the fight. And the primary way you do that is to continue to repent day after day after day. Because every time you repent, you are accepting your personal responsibility for your sins. You're acknowledging that before God. And you are grasping something so immensely, awesomely important, that God is right and we are wrong. And every time you repent, you're being made a little bit stronger. If you continue in the fight. But you have to remain in the fight all the way for that character to be fully developed within you. It's an awesome thing to understand what God is doing. And so again, having seen them afar off, persuaded of them... where am I? Let's see. Let me back up here. I put my finger in the wrong place here. Anyway, talking about Abraham obeyed and not knowing where he went. By faith, he journeyed in a land of promise as in a strange country. We do. The rest of the world doesn't see what we see. You can't talk to others about this. You can't share it with others, even though when we're first called, what do we try to do? We try to share it. Because we want everybody else around us, the ones we love, to be as excited as we are about what we see. And after a while, you realize they think you're nuts. They think you're not dealing with a full deck. That your elevator doesn't go all the way to the top. Anyway, I'll stop. That's how they think. And because they can't grasp this. And now we find even the scattered church. They know your elevator doesn't go to the top. Okay. So, because the difference that God has made between us and them is so vast. It's awesome. Laura and I were talking about that. Or she was talking to me about it. I was agreeing and listening to some of that. You know, amazing what we've done, where we've been. And it's exciting, too, you know, when you understand those things. And that gulf is about to be made a little larger in the sermon series. You think they think you're nuts now. We're not through. We're going to give them a little more fuel, you know, so they can know without a shadow of a doubt. You are in Looney Tune land. Yeah, anyway. Oh, amazing what people think. Feel sorry for them. I look forward to the day that they're awakened. By faith, he journeyed in a land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles. Isn't that amazing? Dwelling in tents. And on the move. One location to another. With Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city who has foundation, whose builder and maker is God. And that's the way God's people have been from the beginning of time. We follow God. Wherever he leads us, through the unknown. Because see, what we want as human beings is physical proof. That which is physical. And so often that isn't given to us. Because that's what faith is about. Now, at times, people have experienced some great physical proof. Noah experienced some great physical proof, didn't he? But what good did that do the rest of his family? Amazing what the world has to be brought to be humbled in order to receive God and God's kingdom. Verse 13, it goes on to say, jumping on down here, these all died in faith. All people, you know, through time have died. Why some think talk about Enoch and Elijah are going to come back at the end to, would it be the two witnesses, and think some now that's in la-la land, you know, to think that there are two who are still alive somewhere on the earth all this time, all these hundreds and thousands of years, and or maybe some think they're up in heaven and God's going to send them back at the last year. I guess I don't know what that all of them think, but anyway, because they're still alive. God just says they all died in faith. Amazing, but they won't accept that. They all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were persuaded of them and embraced them. Isn't that exciting? Because that's what you do. That's what we've all done. You embrace them. You have to embrace them with all of your being. You have to fight for them too. They were persuaded of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they who say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they had come out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. No, we're focused. God gives us the ability to focus on what is ahead, and we keep fighting for it, no matter what time period God has called us. It's just what an incredible time you live in. You get to see it come to pass. One transition of time into another incredible time that so many have looked forward to. Verse 16. But now they desire a better one, that is, unheavenly, that comes from God, in other words, not in heaven, as people read it, but from heaven, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. And then on down in verse 23. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw that he was a proper child, that there was a purpose in his life. Unique. God put something in their mind, you know, that they lived by, that they believed. And they were going to do, you know, something that was in opposition to what basically Pharaoh had told should happen to all the children. And they were going to just step out in faith that there is something unique about Moses. Incredible what they did. Incredible what the mother did as a result of the daughter, Miriam, being sent up ahead and the things she said. And then it's an incredible story of how God worked some things out, because God had a purpose for Moses as a baby, from the time he was a baby. Something that God had planned out, that he'd be plucked out from some reeds and taken by Pharaoh's daughter to be raised as her own child, nurtured, nourished from his own mother. Incredible story. Things that God works out. Things that God's working out in our lives right now, we don't see it all. We look back, and that's why sermons like this are inspiring and exciting to me, because we're able to look back and see and be reminded of what God has worked out in our lives and be moved, encouraged, strengthened, made stronger by it. Awesome. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. They weren't afraid. They didn't care what other people said. It doesn't matter when God's in it, when it's for God's purpose. You go forward. You do what you have to do. You know, God will work everything out. By faith, Moses, when he was come of years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He knew. It was given to him. But it wasn't what it was all about for him. God was working with him at a very young age and through his life to bring him to a moment in time. Several moments, actually. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. See? So what is our battle when we're called? A lot of you young and new people, what is your battle oftentimes? To get away from that, to fight it, to realize it's not about pleasures of sin for a season. It doesn't bring pleasure. It brings imprisonment. Brings hurt, brings suffering. You got to fight the fight. You got to keep fighting against sin. You got to fight against the pulls of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You got to fight those things and seek God's way and strive to live it and be a right light and an example to everyone around you. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. You know what God was placing before him, his future. What was to come to pass, what was going to be accomplished. For he had respect in the recompense of the reward. And it goes on to say, we'll stop here. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. And God has given us that blessing to be able to see, you know, to see that which is spiritual, to understand what it's all about, to see the purpose of what's taking place in our lives and so forth. Anyway, we'll continue with this next Sabbath. And then we'll have a pause for a Sabbath, because we'll have a guest speaker in Cincinnati. And then we'll get back into the series after that.